music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and we have got a jam-packed show for you this week, kicking off with Juno Award-winning and Grammy-nominated artist Deborah Cox, who also happens to be an established Broadway star. Deborah chats about her love-hate relationship with social media, the ongoing support she receives from the LGBTQ community, her love and respect for Aretha Franklin, and much more. We also welcome Toronto R&B soul artist Tamey, chatting about his latest EP called Alternative Soul, and some great music on the way from French Montana, Meghan Trainor, Pink, and Lucas Graham. But first, from 2010, it's Far East Movement featuring Ryan Tedder, Rocketeer, on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Here we go, come with me. There's a world out there that we should see. Take my hand, close your eyes.
If you really want it, got a jet pack with your name on it. Above the clouds in the atmosphere, just say the words and we out of here. Hold my hand if you're feeling scared. We're flying up, up out of here.
Here we go.
Chop the streets of Tokyo, get you fly kick. Girl, you always on my mind. Got my head up in the sky and I'm never looking down. Feeling priceless, yeah. Where we at, only few have known. Want some next level Super Mario. I hope this works out, cardio. Till then, let's fly, Geronimo.
Here we go.
But I ain't never seen a face like yours. You made me feel like I could touch the planets. You want the moon, girl, watch me grab it. See, I ain't never seen a star this close. You got me stuck by the way you glow. I'm like, oh, 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 oh. I'm like, oh, 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 oh.
Here we go.
Kelly Alexander Show, bringing you fresh sounds like this.
I should grow up someday, 'cause I got bills to pay. I can't be waking up at someone else's place. I know I drink too much, can't pay my rent this month. I should be saving up, but I just got paid. I'm broke, but I'm borrowing. place. I go, I drink too much. Can't pay my rent this month. I should be saving up, but
to party, don't cause trouble, don't bother nobody. Lottie dottie, walk up in the party. Sports bra, sports car drive. Show up, show out, bow in, bow out. Go in, go out, so rock, we pull out. I got more diamonds, ladies be the finest. Crush grapes, we don't do the wine. Crush dinner, top spinner. Coop mean, front grilling. Got paid, hop the G5 fade. Rope chain, shell toes, wave you like a sailboat. When you hear the hand, there you go. Montana with the funky sound, Sagala got the London sound.
I should grow up, they say, stuck in my glory days. I know there's nothing wrong, it's just a passing phase. And when I've had my fun, I swear I'll be someone. I know that day will come, but I'm just got paid. I'm broke, but I'm ballin'. Don't know where we're going.
Gala, French Montana, and Meghan Trainor with Just Got Paid on The Kelly Alexander Show. Hey, it's Kelly, and recently we got to meet up with award-winning recording artist Deborah Cox when she was in Montreal to be a part of the Never Apart Legend series and to perform at this year's Pride festivities.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
We are so happy to welcome back to The Kelly Alexander Show, Juno Award-winning, Grammy-nominated superstar from Canada, Deborah Cox. I'm so happy to have you on the show, like,
thank
again.
Thank you, yeah.
And this time in person, so this
yes.
is, like, super exciting
it's
for me.
It's good to finally be here.
And face-to-face.
Yeah, face-to-face.
So I wanted to actually start off by asking you this. In this day and age of a lot of artists being found, like, through YouTube mm-hmm. and social media platforms, whereas back in the day, you guys had to hustle more and, like, actually oh. make, you know, label connections.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, is it, do you think you guys had to work harder, or do you think these guys have to work harder? Because a lot of labels aren't even looking at them unless they have a social media following.
Yeah, I think it's just a whole different time.
Okay.
But I think fundamentally, artists that had experience performing with bands, working with musicians, I think that part of it needs to be nurtured more and yep. could be, you know, could be a big part of the reason why, you know, people are just sort of finding the easy way out as far as, you know, their artistry, which is disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would kind of like to see, just on a grassroots level, artists really sing, get to the clubs, perform, you know, mm-hmm. for audiences, work with other musicians, collaborate. That's the school that I came from.
Now, when I remember interviewing, I think it was Cece Peniston back mm-hmm. in the day, and she talked about how, like, when she was signed to A&M back in the day in the early 90s,
yeah.
that they wanted this mystique, that artists weren't really supposed to put everything out there.
Right.
To, you know, and obviously you were part of that culture too. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about social media these days? Like, I know you have a huge following. Mm-hmm. Is it important for you to connect to your fans this way, and or do you miss the mystique days?
I have a love-hate relationship with social media.
Okay.
I love that I can communicate with the fans. I can get instant, you know, feedback. That I love. I don't necessarily like having to keep up with posting all the time and doing all that. Mm-hmm. I think now it's become another layer of things to do.
Yeah.
You know, but and I love the mystique. I love that, you know, artists had privacy, and, you know, that whole thing is completely gone. I'm a person, I love my anonymity. I
yep.
love being able to take off different hats. I like to be a mom and leave that when it needs to be, you know, left alone and private. And then I like to be the Deborah Cox, the stage performer. You know, I like to have
yep.
the option.
Yeah. And nowadays it's not really that. It's not really that anymore. I did want to also take you back to your time when you were signed by Clive, like back in the 90s. Obviously you were part of a label that was very, I would say, female friendly in a way, like having Whitney and having you, and then the list goes on. Was there like a camaraderie with your label mates like back then? Like, because I know you and Whitney were similar, and I know you guys were friends, but like, did you feel very supported at that label, being on a label with Whitney?
Yeah, I mean, you knew that whenever her records were coming out, you knew.
Okay.
Because she pretty much absorbed the whole...
The team,
the budget and everything, which is understandable. She's an icon.
Yeah.
And I came into it when she was
Established.
So okay. I feel really fortunate that I was with a company that did support me and that put their money where their mouth was. You know, I mean, I was working with the best producers and the best songwriters and... money put to, you know, towards the videos, that whole thing. That's artist development, and you don't have that a lot nowadays with these new labels. And I think that's critical. I think it's critical for you to build a following and build an audience and build, that's part of building your legacy, is having that support and having a company that's willing to put into the artist development phase.
Speaking of Whitney, I did want to ask you this, because you are obviously so solid on your own as being Deborah Cox. You've got 13 number one singles, like the list goes on at your accomplishments, Juno Awards, again, everything, Soul Train Music Awards. But obviously when I think even when somebody Googles your name, Whitney pops up at some of the options, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so how does it feel for you to always be so, like, in a way, attached to her, especially with the Bodyguard?
I just finished the tour in April. There has always been this connection from the very, very beginning. I don't know what it is. I just follow it and I let it lead me, you know? But there's absolutely I feel just humbled by the fact that we're mentioned in the same sentence, the same paragraph, you know, because again, she's somebody that was a mentor.
Okay.
And a lot of people didn't know that she was a very, very giving artist. She loved the new up and coming artists that were, you know, at Arista as well, myself, Monica, like all of us, you know, and we all had our own relationship with her, which is a real blessing. So I feel really privileged.
Okay, that's amazing. Now I have to bring this up. Obviously, Aretha passed away. I obviously follow you on Instagram, and I know that you put up a beautiful picture of you and Aretha together. Can you explain a little bit about when you first met her? And also, I understand from the Instagram post that she used to ask you to sing for her.
Yes, I sang twice. For her 70th birthday, she asked me, I had seen her at a function, and she asked me if I would perform, and I said, absolutely, you know, just tell me when, where. The second time was in Detroit on her yacht, and it was just amazing. And, you know, when you get certain calls from certain people, you show up, you know what I mean? You support them. And there was no question in my mind whether or not I was gonna do it. It was just how I'm gonna make it happen, and you know what I mean? And so that's what I did. And I was just thrilled and honored that she asked me to sing, you know? And because this is a woman, an icon who can sing anything and any style. And I think that's what I appreciate about her talent, you know, and her gift.
Amazing. Yeah. Now, you are in town to do some, you know, some Pride activity, which we love, because we know the Pride people love you in no matter what city, but you're here in Montreal. Mm-hmm. I want to know, in your opinion, why do you think you are so loved and beloved by the LGBTQ community? Like for years, they love you.
It happened really organically, and I think it happened on a level where people felt a real connection to the stories and to the topics of the songs. I get a lot of people that say it's about the empowerment. They feel empowered. They feel like they can be their authentic selves. And I think that my music helped them to just be liberated in a way, you know? And so by me being a performer at many different Pride functions and LGBTQ, you know, being a philanthropist, you know, so to speak, in those areas, I think there's a bit of trust, you know, they trust me as a part of their, you know,
their fabric.
Their fabric, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Now, talk to us a little bit about new music, because we're hoping some is coming.
I'm working on it. Yes, I'm working on it. I just got off this tour. You know, it was a very, very long, extensive one. But I'm ready to get back in the studio and do some new music. And I feel excited again about music. Like, I feel like
you have something to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of stuff going on socially. I live in Florida, so it's every single day there's something going on.
I wanted to ask you about that, actually, because the last time you and I spoke, we talked about how being Canadian, like down in the States, and how people can tell you right away that you're not from there.
We're so nice.
That's right. That's what you said in our interview. And I wanted to ask you, with all the crazy business of the Trump administration, did you ever even consider maybe coming back to Canada?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes. Okay. And, you know, I think about my kids. I think about the world that they're going to live in and what is going on there. I feel like the country's just gone like 50 years back. You know what I mean? Like it's so divided right now, and there's such a hostility and a negative vibe right now that to be a black person, it's got this. It's very heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you worry about your son? Because you have a son.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like he's 16.
And we live
right
in a suburb. Yeah. We live in a suburb in Florida, and it's just like every single day there's something new that's happening with this administration that just makes you just really, really fearful.
Okay.
So yeah, I get very concerned a lot, you know.
Okay.
Because we don't experience that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Here in Canada, you know?
No, we love the people.
Yeah,
we love everyone.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you as well, too, before we wrap up. You know, you've done so many different things, singing, you know, acting in movies, and then being on Broadway. Do you actually have a favorite? Because I didn't get to ask you that last time.
I do have a favorite. I think I've come to, after doing the musical, musicals are my favorite because I get a chance to tell a story, a big story. And I'm a part of a bigger, you know, I get a chance to work with other cast members and dancers, and you know, it depends on the production. Mm-hmm. So I think musicals are my favorite. I mean, I love to connect with the audiences with my own stuff. I think that's
of course.
First and foremost. But yeah, musicals are a lot of fun.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I did want to finish with this. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, you have 13 number one, you know, Billboard dance songs, which I think is amazing. Do you actually have a favorite? Like, do you have a favorite? Because I know they're all your babies, do you have a favorite that, like, especially maybe when you're performing at a Pride event where you just know the crowd's going to lose their marbles?
It's always Nobody's Supposed to Be Here.
Okay.
That's the one that is like, I mean, people, if, I mean, I always tease too, you know, sometimes, you know, about like, I'm not, as if I'm not going to do the song and just leave the stage. And I mean, they get really irate and upset if, you know, if they don't hear the first note. But yeah, that would be the song that is just to see that the faces on everybody, you know, and to see, to feel that warmth and to feel that connection because they know, oh my God, that's the song that I met my partner. That's the song I came out to, or, you know, you just never know what their story is. And so that just, that fills me up.
And you know, you're going to be singing that till you die, right?
Oh like my God. Yeah. And I'm happy it's that song.
Okay, good. Deborah, it's so great to have you on the show again.
Thank you
for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
So Deborah Cox hanging out on the Kelly Alexander Show. Make sure you follow her on her website, deborahcox.com.
The Kelly Alexander Show.
Here is Deborah Cox with a song that spent 14 weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot R&B Hip Hop Songs chart. It's Nobody's Supposed to Be Here from 1998 on the Kelly Alexander Show.
But you came along.
We're looking forward to you hearing this latest version of Alexandra Stan and Mahombie's song called Balance 2K18 featuring Mark Mysterio. It's definitely going to make you groove, a fantastic song to wrap up the end of summer.
Hey, mama chula.
Kelly Alexander Show.
On the way, a chat with Toronto recording artist Tamey, but first let's go back to Pink's debut album from 2000 with a song called Let Me Let You Know.
Baby, I'm not sorry for leaving you this
That's Pink with Let Me Let You Know, an album track from her debut CD, Can't Take Me Home, which had a bunch of hits on it, including Most Girls and There You Go. Hey, it's Kelly Alexander, and we're excited to learn more about Toronto R&B soul artist Tamie. Tamie is currently putting the finishing touches on his EP called Alternative Soul and has released a new single called Dynamite. Tamie, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
What's up, Kelly? Thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me.
Very happy to have you on the show. I'm a big fan of R&B music, so when I found out that we have another Canadian R&B, you know, soul artist in the midst, I was very excited to have you on the show. And I guess I wanted to start off by asking you, you know, growing up in Toronto, did that affect your musical identity and the influences that you picked up as an artist?
Well, you know what? Like, Toronto is weird. There's a real I guess it's a Caribbean influence for Toronto. So to get like the R&B influence that I ended up getting was more so from like my older brothers. And, you know, we always listen to like WBLK out in, you know, out in Buffalo, listen to The Quiet Storm. But I guess a mixture of both of those things, having the Canadian mentality and having, you know, some influence from America and my brothers, gave me the opportunity to kind of just explore different types of soul music, different types of R&B. And yeah, I would definitely say it's given me an appreciation for soul music that I wouldn't have had if I grew up somewhere else, for sure.
So many amazing artists are coming out of Canada, and then specifically Toronto. Like, we can just use Drake as an example right off the hop. And in the past, of course, you know, R&B artist Deborah Cox, like the list goes on, Justin Bieber, of course. But like, I'm wondering, like, do you feel then that you're in the right spot to be sort of working in Toronto? Like, is there any sort of pull that you feel like you need to go to LA or you need to go to New York?
I mean, I spent a little bit of time, a little bit on my history. Like, I was signed before to Disturbing the Peace Def Jam Records with Ludacris, and I spent some time in Atlanta. And after being there for a while, I was, you know, hitting the pavement, doing a lot of work out there. But Toronto feels like home, especially with the, it's home, obviously, not even feels like home, it's home. And it feels like Toronto now is, because of, you know, the Drakes, because of the Justin Biebers, and the stamp that they've actually made for our city, and for our country, rather, it's like coming out of Toronto now, it's even better going out to, you know, going back to Atlanta, going back to LA. The moment you mentioned Toronto, they're like, oh, wow, you're the next, you're about to be the next Drake or the next this person, the next person. So it's better than it ever has been because of the people that came before us.
Now, I used to live in Toronto, but it's been like a hot minute since I lived there. So on the live scene, because I remember when I lived there, you know, there was a good scene for sort of indies, you know, a singer-songwriter artists. But for R&B mm-hmm. artists, where are you guys performing live in Toronto?
Right now, currently, I've been working on my EP, my album, but there's a lot of different venues to perform at. I've done a few performances opening up at Dundas Square. There's a lot of different open mic spots. But right now, again, for me personally, it's focused on my EP, on my album, rather, just to kind of get things together. And then I'll be going on tour, hopefully pretty soon. So that's kind of my performance, what I'm doing with my performances. But, I mean, Toronto always has a lot of different things. But I think it's probably decreased from maybe when you lived here. How long ago was it before you lived here?
Oh my goodness. I guess I moved out of there in 2004, but I remember it being like a hotspot for sure in like the early 2000s. You know, there was a lot going on at like the Rivoli and places like that.
You know what, Lee? Right. Let me step back. The Rivoli is definitely still popping. Revival is definitely still popping. The Mod Club is definitely still going on. So there's a lot of different spots that have their different shows. But what I find with those shows is they're bringing a lot of big acts, and a lot of Toronto artists are opening up for them. So those places are getting more of a stamp. And I love that because, again, it takes the level of the Canadian music scene up a notch. So it actually makes things a lot more competitive. I love it.
Let's discuss the album. So is it an album or an EP? Because I was told it's an EP. So you tell me what it is. Is it going to be more than EP numbers?
Right now we're taking it to album because I feel like it's time for me to tell my story. I've been doing this music thing for a long time. So, I mean, I'm at the point now where EP is great, and I think you can always tell your story through music, but an album is just a full body work where it's not just focused on a bunch of singles. It's you know, I mean, I can put certain songs or certain skits in there, or just, you know, an instrumental in that it just speaks to me and hopefully will speak to the fans. So yeah, the album is definitely a place we're going with this one.
I'm glad you actually are discussing that, because, and the fact that you actually brought up a singles market, because that's what it is, especially in the top 40 world, which I know is different from what you're doing with R&B, but it just seems like consumers now are consuming one song at a time. So I'm impressed mm-hmm. that you want to actually tell your story, because it just seems like, I'm sure a lot of the advice that artists are getting these days is just get out a good single and then follow it up with another good single and then go from there.
I think people are ready for authentic music. People are ready for real right now, and people are ready to go to a place where they can actually just feel rather than just be pumped and force fed a bunch of songs. You know what I mean? You can see it now with artists like Daniel Caesar, artists like, you know, like Drake, who are putting out singles as well too, but you can see the body of work in their albums, and I think people are ready for that now. So I'm just ready to just give that, and hopefully people relate to it.
So with the new single Dynamite, let us know how that song came together, and at this moment, do you think it's the best song you've ever written?
Wow.
big questions.
I know, right? You know what? I think Dynamite, the way Dynamite came about was I got in the studio with a few friends of mine, a few other colleagues, and we put together a song. We wanted to put together a song that wouldn't, how I say, a lot of songs nowadays I find, you know, a great music obviously out there, but it seems like there's no love in the music. It's starting to get there, but it seems like there's not a lot of love in the music. So an A&R told me that I spoke to, he said, are you going to make these women fall in love again? Because right now they're afraid to, because they're being told that they're, you know, they're not loyal, being told this, all these different things. Great music again, but I think that Dynamite, what it speaks to is speaking to just having that one special person in R&B, in pop, urban music, whatever the case may be, that people can just hold that one special person and say that they're dynamite. I appreciate everything about that one person. And I think that that's what we wanted to do with Dynamite, give a song that was fun, but at the same time spoke about that one person in a positive way, no derogatory way whatsoever, just something that we really, really loved and appreciated. And is it my best song to date? No, I won't say it's my best. It's definitely one of my favorite songs to date, but definitely wouldn't be one of my best songs to date. I like all the songs that are on Alternative Soul, so it's really, really, really hard to choose. I'm in love with one of the songs I have on my EP called Where Your Heart Is, because it's the first song that I wrote from this new album. And it just, it's really, really me. Like, it's really me. It speaks of kind of my story and having the situation at DTP, Disturbing the Peace at Def Jam, and losing it, you know what I mean? And losing a lot, not only that, but personally losing, you know, people around my life, losing a girlfriend I had at that time period, and through the dumb decisions I made in my life. So I feel like I really resonate with that, just because it was a transition from just the hardcore, you know, bravado type R&B I was doing before to the pop/R&B alternative soul music I'm doing now.
Joining us on the Kelly Alexander Show is recording artist Tamey. Make sure to follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Tamey_music. Let's chat a little bit about the album title, Alternative Soul. Is it like the genre of the music kind of mimicking the title, or is there something else going on with that title?
That's exactly what it is. My voice, I grew up in an R&B background. My brothers listened to Motown and, you know, Babyface and Michael Jackson. And, you know, I grew up on, you know, 90s R&B music by listening to them and stuff like that. And I always was really, really, really stuck on that. But as I got older and I started gaining other appreciations for music for artists like, you know, the Eric Clapton, and I went back. I really went back to Seal and listening to artists like that. Now the music is taking a shift. And it's not just, I mean, Dynamite's a great song, but I don't want people to get the wrong idea and think that, oh, that's, you know, he's going right to urban R&B, because I'm really taking it to a place where I want to, you know, not mimic, but I want to follow in the footsteps of artists like Seal, like, you know, the guys who gave you that real music with the real guitars and just the piano keys and that live music and that real feel, because people, you connect with that, and I really connect with that as well too. So that's the music is just all types of soul. Because my voice is so, I can't get rid of it. It's not going to go nowhere. But but no matter what I sing on top of it, I'm hopefully that, you know, if I can sing a little funk, I can sing a little blues, I can sing a little jazz, I can sing a little country even. I mean, there's really some country on it, I got to be honest with you.
That's good.
If I can sing a little bit of all of that, then, you know, I can give that soul, but in an alternative way, in my different alternative way of soul.
I wanted to bring you back to Ludacris for just a sec. When that all sort of came together, can you explain a little bit about how that worked out? And what did you, like, what's the biggest lesson you learned from touring with him?
So I was in a boy band.
That's okay. That's fine.
I was in a boy band. It was great. I mean, what I learned from that experience as well as being with Chris. So we were a group, we were in Toronto, we were doing our thing in Toronto, and we had gotten to a place where we felt, especially, you know, a few years ago, Toronto had, you know, if being in Toronto without the moguls that have kind of taken and broken through that threshold, like Drake, there was a plateau, and we felt we had reached that plateau. And so because of that, we said, you know, let's just take a trip, let's go down to Atlanta. So we went down to Atlanta, Georgia, strictly as writers, just trying, you know, see if we could play some records on other artists' albums. So what ended up happening was we connected with Chris and Jeff and some of the other label heads over there, and then they really loved us as a group. We signed there, and it was just magic from there. We worked on a lot of different things there, definitely toured with Chris. And I think one of the major things I learned working with Chris and Def Jam, DTP, everybody over there, was just, well, I'll tell you one funny thing. Sleep on the way is one thing Chris told me, because I know he was so busy that no matter what he did, he just literally slept on the way to wherever he had to go to because he was always busy. And and two, with that, work your tail off. Really, work your tail off and don't take no for an answer. And I think that's one of the major things I learned running with him. Just, you know, there's a different work ethic I find working with certain people out in Atlanta. And it's like, there's nothing else but the dream. So I feel like I've adopted that mentality, and yeah, it's done a lot for me.
What's your, I would say, maybe top two goals or top three goals over the next 6 months to a year, Tammy? Like, what do you really want to accomplish maybe as soon as this album is out?
World takeover. No, I'm joking.
I like that. That's what Lady Gaga told me. So, and she did it. So,
really?
Oh yeah. I asked her this.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, go ahead. You should say it. Put it out in the universe. Yep.
World takeover. I said it.
All right. You said it here first. We're going to put it out to the ether.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. You know, honestly, I'm going to say it's a world takeover, as well as I just want people to get to know me. That's it. The real me, the who I've become, the who I've changed into be all these years, and learn something from being a man who messes up and grows from it. And hopefully people can learn from it. And I want people to learn, and young men, especially young black men, young every kind of man, just to learn that you don't have to be the bravado. You don't got to be that dude. There's strength and vulnerability. And I just want to tell that story as well to guys out there, so they can do that as well.
When it comes to social media, do you find that that's a big player in how you're getting across to your fans and building a fan base?
I think, yeah, I think the fans definitely want to know who you are. And I try my best to tell a little bit of who I am, but not give it away completely, because I want the music to speak for itself to a degree. So, yeah, I think social media is a great tool. And but you know what I feel like, too? I feel like as great as social media is, it takes away from some of the mystery. I remember, like, looking at certain artists, like, you know what I mean, Michael Jackson, Prince, or even, you know, to go as far as like Cher or like, you know what I mean, things like that. And what made them superstars was that idea of mystery to a degree, right? So I want to give them the story, but not tell them everything. And I think that's kind of what I want to do to a degree with my social media.
Perfect. I think that's great. Yeah, because a lot of people now just give it all away. And so the fact that you like to sort of have a bit of mystique, I think is awesome. It's actually funny that you brought that up, because I remember speaking to Cece Peniston in an interview that I did with her a while ago. And she talked about that when she was signed to A&M, you know, back in the day, how everything was supposed to be sort of kept a bit of a mystery so that there was all this intrigue. And she said that the times have definitely changed and it's not that anymore. I did want to ask you this. The current state of R&B, I recently watched the BET Awards, or parts of it. I'm a huge R&B fan, as I mentioned before. And I felt like, because for a couple of years, I was worried about R&B. I have to be honest. Like, I felt like it was heading in precarious directions. But then, you know, over the last little while, I've seen some artists come out that I just think are fantastic. One of them is Daniel Caesar, and one of them is her. So I wanted to know what your thoughts are on the current state of R&B, whether it's in Canada or in the States, and do you think it's heading towards a healthy place?
I love it. I love where it's going. I love that it's the real singers are coming out. I love that people are the souls coming out. I love it. I love melodies. I love strong hooks. I love all of it. And I'm so happy that I'm in this place of music, because I felt the same way as you. I felt like it was really a trap R&B place, which was great, but not something I resonated with. And I feel like now where it's at is just, it's beautiful, man. So I'm just happy to be a part of it.
And before I let you go, I wanted to give you an opportunity to let my audience know, you know, what is different about Tammy as opposed to other R&B artists around the globe?
Me.
I like
There's
that.
There's only one you, right?
Yep, that's true.
One. I mean, I can tell the same story to some. I can tell somebody else's story. I'm sure somebody has shared my experience, and I could tell that story in different ways, but nobody can tell my story the way I can tell my story. It's impossible.
Perfect. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. I think you're fantastic. I invite you to come back anytime you want, and I cannot wait for the album to be out.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it for me.
That's recording artist Tamie. Make sure to follow him on Twitter and Instagram at Tamie_music. And here he is with his track called Dynamite on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Pinch myself, you're with me, not someone else. And I'm scared, yeah, I'm still scared. That is all a dream. Cause you still look perfect as days go by. Even the worst ones, you make me smile. Stop the world if it gave us time. Cause when you love someone, you open up your heart. When you love someone, you make room. If you love someone and you're not afraid to lose them, you probably never loved someone like I do. Probably never loved someone like I do. When you say you love the way I make you feel, everything becomes so real. Don't be scared, no, don't be scared.
to lose. But when you love someone, you open up your heart. When you love someone, you make room. If you love someone and you're not afraid to lose them, you probably never love someone like that.
Lucas Graham with Love Someone, new music on The Kelly Alexander Show. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us on the program this week, and a big thank you going out to our guests, Deborah Cox and Tammy. Also, a big shout out to our producer, Adam Brisson, for doing such a great job producing the program. And please make sure to follow us on all of our social media. You can do so by hitting up our website, kellyalexandershow.com. We want to wish you an excellent week ahead, and we're going to leave you with new music from up-and-coming artist Alice Merton, who has roots in Germany, Canada, and the UK. Here she is with her song Why So Serious on The Kelly Alexander Show.
When did we forget all the crazy things that made us feel so part of it? Our youth so confident, we played our heartstrings, not caring if it ends. Try to learn to let go of all those things that tie you down. Get rid of it. The voice inside that tells me that I'm scared, but I wanna let go of it now. So someone tell me why so serious? Why are we so serious? Oh, why so serious? When did we get like this? I still remember we weren't grown up like this. Oh, oh. I don't seem to get all the things that are happening, and I can't make sense of everything that's inside my head, but I keep on thinking there's gotta be something said. Oh, seems we've lost it. That spark inside that tells us it's all nonsense. Stop being so cautious with every mistake. There comes a lesson. So someone tell me why so serious? Why are we so serious? Oh, why so serious? When did we get like this? I still remember we weren't grown up like this. Oh, oh. Why so serious? Why are we so serious? Oh, why so serious? Can someone tell? What if those things don't last? And I wanna live with no one.